Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it is time once again for another edition of the Curtain Call podcast. My name is Michael Beck, your deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and I'm joined by the great film guru himself, one Mr. Jeffrey Benedict. Jeffrey, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing pretty good, Michael, doing pretty good.
And you know what? I'm also doing quite well because we have made it to training camp. There is actual football going on. We got football. We got real football news every single day here until mid-February. It is beautiful. It is a good time to be a football fan. Great time to be a Steelers fan. Of course, we got that extra week to prepare for the Hall of Fame game. We'll get into that a little bit today. But, of course, today's theme of the show is basically breaking down training camp and looking at the Steelers' perspective. Over the coming weeks, we will have some guests from some other sites featuring some AFC North teams so we can kind of get prepared for our division and what we have to look out for. But tonight, we'll kick things off with the Steelers. And I'm pretty excited for it. So, obviously, camp has just opened up. They just put the pads on as of the day of recording this, Wednesday night. Do you have any overall thoughts on training camp this far?
Training camp to me, it's mostly just the build up to the preseason, man. I can't wait for the Hall of Fame game. I can't wait to start seeing these guys hit other people in training camp. I mean, you obviously it's nice to know they're getting to it. It's nice to get some reports this year compared to last year of what's going on in training camp. You actually have, you know, fans there. You're able to get some like home video shot for people's cell phones about stuff. But to me, I don't know. It's hard for me to get too excited for training camp and to read too much into it. I listen mostly to what the coaches say, what they're talking about. But it is nice. The nicest thing, I think, in my opinion, is just this training camp, like, actually happening, right? As opposed to last season where it was, who knows what, you know, what's even going on behind closed doors and how much they're able to do. And they're all separate and you're hearing all these rumors of stuff. This year, at least, we're actually seeing it. So that's very nice.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on with that. One of the things I put in the BTSC group chat today is a picture of Derek Watt with his family, which is something we didn't get last year. Something else I saw before we went on live today was Joe Hayden taking some selfies with fans in the stands, just getting that interaction. Definitely something I didn't realize I missed, but just that aspect of sports is one of the great reasons why you can be a fan. And learn a little bit about the athletes and just overall getting to interact with them. It's so much better than just hitting the play button on the TV, the power button, I guess I should say, come game day, like actually kind of grow with this team. And we're getting almost a play-by-play report when it comes to training camp. I think even the reporters are a bit antsy to get the information out. And you know what? It's been a lot of fun because even though I'm on the other side of the continent, it feels like I'm right there in training camp with the amount of video and information that is coming out. So from that sense, it's pretty exciting. Speaking of the Hall of Fame game, well, one of the kind of interesting kind of side notes with it is no team that's ever participated in the Hall of Fame game has actually won a championship. And previous to this, that would mean you played 5 preseason games. Of course, the preseason got chopped down to 3 games, meaning the Steelers are playing the regular 4 games. A big mix of numbers here, but basically, are you happy that this team is in this situation, having to play this game, an extra preseason game on the horizon? Does it mean anything at all?
I like it. I think it's an advantage, especially in this season, where they're cutting the training camp. They're cutting the preseason games down 1. The Steelers still get 4. Last year, it was not going. Didn't have we didn't have a preseason. And so it's nice, and it's really beneficial, especially following the season where we didn't have a preseason, to have that extra preseason game to give guys, you know, that are on the bubble, guys that the Steelers signed a lot of them this year that kind of got lost in the shuffle last year. They brought a lot of guys in for camp. They're going to get to play. They're going to get to play in the preseason. They're going to get that shot to show, hey, you know what, maybe I don't practice as well as that guy, but I play a game better than him. And that is something I think we really missed last season. I think a lot of guys fell through the cracks and fell off the radar simply because they didn't have those. I know no team has ever won, you know, ever gone to the Super Bowl after playing in the Hall of Fame game. But until, you know, 2005, no team had ever been the 6th seed and won the championship either. So it's okay to do it different. You don't have to sit there and play the odds. You can go however you want. It doesn't matter. This could be the first season. Let's do it. Let's be the first team to play in the Hall of Fame game and win the Super Bowl.
So speaking of the preseason, obviously it doesn't matter. The famous 0-16 teams of the Detroit Lions and Cleveland Browns both went 4-0 in the preseason. Seriously, like the stats, like none of that really matters at the end of the day. But for those of us that haven't watched a preseason game in, 700 days, I suppose that's what we're going on now. What do we need to look out for in these games? What's important for the fans watching?
Well, first off, preseason games, wins and losses are often decided by players who will not be playing on the team. It's like the fourth quarter is often decides preseason games, and none of those guys are – Rarely anyone in the fourth quarter going to make an NFL roster or be any kind of impact player. But that's where you find out, do we have players there? And that's the value of the preseason game. You're not looking really at the starters. You're not even looking at veteran backups. Like Tyson Alualu is usually considered a backup. He's not really a starter because he's the nose tackle and he rarely is out there on the first snap. But we know what we're getting from him. Like, no one needs to look at Tyson Alualu and say, ooh, is he going to be a player this year? We know what he is. What we're looking for is guys who make a big leap, guys who are making a big second-year leap. We're looking for rookies that come in and are ahead of the curve. We're looking for guys that come out of nowhere to make a play, you know, to become a special teams player and maybe be something more. And we missed that last season. I would have loved, you know, James Pierre, as good as he played there and the little bit of stretch he got, if there was a preseason last year, maybe he gets more than that. You know, we've had players who come in and start the preseason at the bottom of the roster. And by the end of the preseason, they're like, okay, all right, this dude's our, you know, like number 3 wide, or this guy's our, you know, like number 3 guard or something like that. You're somewhere on that list now, and you're going to get snaps. You're going to get opportunity. So for me, that's what you got to watch for. You got to watch for guys that you don't know about and see what they're doing well. Especially watch if you see someone go off in the Hall of Fame game. Like you see someone you've never heard of have a phenomenal game in the Hall of Fame game. Watch what they do the next game. Watch where they come in. I remember Tuzar Skipper. He was hot in the preseason a couple years ago. And then the Steelers put him in the second quarter. Like, he went in when the backups to the starters went in, the legit roster guys went in, and he absolutely disappeared. And then he played later when the other team took out their starters and put in their scrubs, and he started just destroying everybody again. And that's what I was watching. I was like, oh, you know, maybe this guy's not that legit. But so keep an eye on when a person plays, who they're playing against, what they're doing. But really, the preseason is for looking out for those guys. Who's going to surprise you and maybe, you know, be a guy who can be a small minor impact player on this team?
I'm going to answer this next question first, give you an opportunity to think of your own answer, because I may even steal what you're going to originally think of. But when it comes to this preseason, what I'm most excited for is going to be what the late round draft picks of the 2020 class bring. So not this current draft class, last year's, because we really haven't watched Carlos Davis play a lot. Antoine Brooks Jr., who by all means is killing it in camp thus far and seems to be poised to take a run at that nickel corner spot. Heck, Anthony McFarland didn't play too much a year ago. And what we saw wasn't a great sample size, if we're being honest with ourselves. But when it comes to what I'm really excited for over the next, 5 weeks, it's to see kind of what the Steelers really have from last year's group, as much as it is seeing what they have from this year's group of guys. Like you mentioned with James Pierre, there's just so many question marks surrounding some of these guys that we really haven't watched play, but obviously the Steelers had confidence in bringing them into next season. And of course, all those draft picks from last year made the team, which is still somewhat of a rarity for the Steelers, either a sixth or seventh rounder, like going back really the past decade plus, at least one of the guys was getting the axe at some point. Every single one of the guys of the draft class last year made it. Who knows if a lack of preseason had something to do with that, but each and every one of them made it, and we're going to be able to watch them play some real game action this year. So now I'll turn it over to you, Jeffrey. What are you most excited to watch in this preseason?
Well, I honestly, you did steal what would have been my answer.
That's why I went
Antoine
first.
Antoine Brooks, but I especially want to mention Carlos Davis, who I, again, have to admit, when they drafted him, I went and looked at his Nebraska film, and it was almost embarrassing what I saw. I was like, this is bad. I'll give the caveat. He was a shot putter, and I was like, he looks like he jumps out of his stance and comes too vertical, and he loses all his leverage when he does that. And I thought at the time, maybe the Steelers think, like, his shot putting is wrecking his thing, and they can fix that. He looked great. When he played, he looked like a solid player when he played during the season. I'm very excited to see what he brings. But to answer that separately from just piggybacking on your answer, I'm going to be looking for the guys that are new, the guys that are NFL guys, but lower, like they're not big names. Arthur Millett. Watching his New York Jets film, he looks like a Terrell Austin guy. He fits a lot of roles that players play in this defensive backfield. I think he's a really good signing. He could be a very solid signing for this team. And so while I know Antoine Brooks is listed ahead of him, I honestly wonder if that's going to stick. We'll see. I'm going to love that, watching those two play and see how they sort that out. If that's your nickel, if Antoine Brooks can beat him out and be the nickel, I think that says huge things for this team's top four cornerbacks, that guy can step up and take it, because Millett is a solid player. He is a very solid dude. He's easily a lot of teams' fifth best. You know, he's our number five defensive back on a lot of NFL teams. So that would be very good. Miles Killebrew, who played with Terrell Austin and had an important rotational part role as a safety, as a box safety, and doing some different roles in Terrell Austin's defense, including playing some like dime linebacker type of roles. I'm interested in seeing what he's going to do, if he can revitalize his career. Some of these offensive linemen we signed and brought in, I'm very interested to see what they do. So as we get into the process of the preseason, it's going to be very interesting to see these guys, you know, put themselves on the pecking order with their play and see where they can line up. Cause I mean, we know some things about the offensive line. We know some players are going to start. We know what the Steelers want to have happen, but there are always guys who surprise, always guys who step up, guys who aren't quite as good. And that always shapes the roster. And like you said, every rookie made it last year, and maybe you know, a lack of preseason had something to do with it. It could have, because we don't know who might have taken someone's job that just didn't get that chance to take someone's job because they didn't get the preseason. And so we'll that's going to be fun to watch for. And that's who I watch for, is those under covered. Maybe they're not as big a deal signings that we did in the offseason, because one or two of those are really good players, you know, can be a good solid rotational player. This team has all of a sudden has a lot more depth and a lot more, you know, overall strength to make it through this long season.
Now, before we get back to straight training camp stuff, I do want to back it up, because you brought up Miles Killebrew's name. And one of the things that happened in the past week is the Steelers dropped their official first official depth chart. Within it, there's a couple interesting things, but throughout the offseason and after the Steelers signed Miles Killebrew, he's been listed as a linebacker up until the depth chart was released, when he was put back into a safety role. If correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Terrell Austin was the guy pounding the table in Detroit for them to draft Miles Killebrew. Terrell Austin leaves, they transition him to be more of a dimebacker type role. Killebrew is playing a lot as a safety in Detroit under Terrell Austin. Do you see some sort of role potentially where Killebrew could be coming on the field to kind of shift some guys around, allow the other safeties to do perhaps some different things? Could Miles Killebrew really be some sort of maybe secret weapon, underrated guy that we aren't really talking about? Or was this just Terrell Austin getting his guy back from Detroit and just having him for some depth space and special teams play?
When Miles Killebrew was in Detroit, he played everything from dime linebacker to a slot safety, like the, you know, dime formation. He's in the slot, but he's playing like a linebacker. He's there to crush people. With Terrell Austin, he is kind of a fit in there. He's an athlete. He can do some man coverage. He is a good tackler. I think he has a chance to be more of a fitting specific roles in specific defensive, you know, alignments and coverage schemes. Which is a thing with Terrell Austin, how he moves people around. I see, that's the thing. I don't know. I look at it, and this is one of the things I'm really excited to see, is does he have something playing for Miles Killebrew? Or is this a guy he was like, you know what, this guy, I think he deserved a better shot than he's got, so let's see if he still can do it. Let's see if he can find, you know, the growth that he should have made as a player, but he wasn't able to, you know, with Terrell Austin leaving that team. I don't know if it's just that kind of a shot and saying, hey, you know what, he's at least a good special teams player, and let's see if he brings us more. But I am very interested to see if Terrell Austin has some interesting designs for him. And, of course, I'm saying Terrell Austin, in my head, it has a specific role with the Steelers that's not official. I know Keith Butler is the defensive coordinator, and I've talked to some people who cover the team who are like, I think you're a little crazy. But the coverage schemes and the defense, how we use our secondary, has changed immensely since Terrell Austin came on board. And some of the guys we're picking up, they look like players who fit what we're doing now. Whereas before, we would just draft defensive backs and hope they can figure stuff out. Like, it was really not, you didn't see a really organized plan there. We draft someone, be like, hopefully you work out in this defense. And now it seems very much more like we're drafting players who play roles and do specific things that we want them to do, that show up in our defensive coverage. So I'm very excited to see how he ends up being used. I can't really say how that's going to be. I can't even predict it, but I expect it would be kind of the nickelback safety role, like the slot corner slash safety that they do with a lot of people. It's, you know, the Mike Hilton role. They tried it with Minkah Fitzpatrick. They do it a bit with Terrell Edmonds. They've done it with a lot of players, and I expect them to try him there and somewhere, and he's going to fit in.
Yeah, he is a guy that is kind of an interesting question mark. Well, basically everyone the Steelers signed prior to, what, the last 2.5 months, or 2 months really, when it comes to what they're going to bring to this team. So that will be a fun thing to watch. But getting back to training camp itself here, there's been a few names that have really kind of kind of risen to the top when it comes to the best performers. About a week into camp at this point. Of course, we got pads on. Once again today, Alex Highsmith is one of those guys that looks really big. He looks really fast, looks more confident. I see your eyes lighting up when I bring that up. Is there something you want to touch on with Alex Highsmith looking extraordinarily good this far into training camp?
Last season, Alex Highsmith reminded me of Lawrence Timmons and Larry Foote when they were early in their careers. I remember seeing Larry Foote play, and there would be like you would see him like shoot into the backfield on a play, and you're like, oh, he's good, and then he just missed the running back, right? And the running back would go and gain some yards. He was constantly so close to making the play, right? But he wasn't there. He had all kinds of good film, but no results. Lawrence Timmons was the same way. He had stuff where you're sitting there going, oh, wow, like look what that guy just did, but there wasn't the results. Like, he wasn't actually getting the job done. He just looked like he was about to do something great, and then it didn't quite work out. He just missed it by a small bit. And eventually, both of those players became guys who made plays, not like fantastic playmakers. You know, Larry Foote was very solid, but they came around, and you saw how that like look of, oh, he's almost there, turned into, wow, okay, the Steelers have a good player here. That's what Alex Highsmith made me think of last year. He was ripping off incredible pass rush moves. He was getting great jumps off the snap. He was doing a lot of things really well. And then at some point, like, it would kind of die off. Like, it was he didn't quite know how to finish. He had this much of it planned out, and maybe in college that was enough. But after you get that first great move, how do you finish? How do you get the line off, get that move off a little faster so that you cut that angle a little bit smaller and, you know, 10th of a second, you're there. You know, you're there a 10th of a second faster and it's a sack instead of a ball thrown away. That's where Alex Highsmith left last season going into this season was just a little bit off from being a playmaker and looking really good and looking like he had a lot of potential. And what we're seeing right now is, it looks like a guy who has made that step. And that's a big step to make. If you remember, Lamar Woodley, 2007, had 4 sacks. And go and look what they did in 2008, what him and James Harrison did in 2008. It's a little bit of a difference, little bit of a deal there. I'm thinking you could see that kind of a jump from Alex Highsmith, where he goes from a guy who looked good but didn't produce much to a guy who's on the opposite side of TJ Watt, looks like an absolute stud.
Yeah, that would be huge for this team. If Alex Highsmith can step in and turn his production around like that, yeah, you better watch out. That starting duo of him and TJ Watt would be electric. Mix in Melvin Ingram, who by all reports looks good. According to himself, he feels good. He feels like he's 18 again, apparently. So that is all very exciting. Of course, Alex Highsmith today made some pretty good plays on one-on-ones, on backs, on backers. And, well, speaking of that drill, running back Najee Harris and really all the Steelers rookies have been getting a lot of praise the past week here in training camp. Najee Harris especially, he made a great block in that back-on-backers drill, which kind of got a big reaction out of Ben Roethlisberger. Already pictures of them celebrating his block have surfaced. He caught a slant route on 7 shots for a touchdown over Devin Bush. Najee Harris, that is, not Ben Roethlisberger. He threw the ball, but he wasn't the one running the route. But Najee Harris, again, he had a great day at camp. There's some fan video of him busting a big run. The 6,000 strong there at Heinz Field erupted for that. Are you excited for Najee Harris? Because it seems like this guy is ready to go. He's already listed as a starting running back. This seems like it's a pretty big deal that this guy's so ready to go in every asset of the game.
Yes, this is the big one. I mean, really, it is. It's the first round pick. It's, can we save the running game? And if the running game is all of a sudden good, you know, how much better is the entire offense going to be? So much is riding on Najee Harris that the plays he's making are just getting everyone hyped up, because this isn't just, oh, we have a better running back. This is, our offense could have the piece it needs to be great, right? This offense could be legitimately great. That slant catch he made over Devin Bush, the way people describe it, Devin Bush had him covered, and he sealed off the pass, used his body to get between him and Devin Bush, and secured the catch. That's huge. That's what Juju Smith-Schuster made his you know rookie season was all about, was those kind of catches. If he can do that to Devin Bush, then he's going to be a real, real matchup problem. One of the things I've been doing is with my Matt Canada film room, it's called Steelers Offense in Focus, is looking at one of the things I'm talking about right now, and it is the H-back role, which is a hybrid, like fullback tight end. They play, they can go out in the slot. They're a receiver. They're a blocker. They're sometimes a runner. The guy that best fits that role, if you look at the blocking and pass catching side of it, is Najee Harris. Now, obviously, he's going to be the number one runner. And in any Matt Canada offense that he has ever run, the number one runner is the runner, right? He is your tailback. He's not your H-back. He's not going to go out there and be the receiver. But this is also a team that had Le'Veon Bell. That might change. You know, he may change. He may become that kind of matchup nightmare player that Matt Canada can use to really make this offense, you know, even more than just, hey, the Steelers have a running game now. It could be the Steelers have a running game, and this guy's also like Le'Veon Bell-level receiver, but with probably a little more speed because Bell wasn't fast. Yeah, that's what we're kind of talking about with Najee Harris. The downside is, and this is one I always look at because I'm a numbers guy too, right? That's in my heart. I'm a numbers guy. When players take a big step up in the number of repetitions they're getting, in the amount of playing time they're getting, the amount of hits they're taking, the amount of training they're doing, you see injuries. Now, the good news is Najee Harris stepped to the NFL and he was in NFL conditioning. They're like, this guy's already, we're not worried about him stepping up to NFL training because he's already been doing that level of training in college. Like, he's that crazy. The question I have is, we're talking about a 17-game season. People are predicting he could break, you know, the rookie rushing records of this team. He could be a serious contributor right off the bat. If you look at the number of touches, the amount of hits he was taking in college, it's not anything like a full NFL schedule where you are the number one guy. So the one concern I have with Najee, and this is what has kept me from being too gushing about him his entire time since we drafted him, is the idea that you don't want to put this guy in there from the start, have him touch the ball, you know, 25, 30 times a game, have him taking these hits because he's a dude who invites contact. They talked about that. He did a block. He wasn't satisfied with it. He stayed on and motioned for them to send someone else out. Send it, you know, let's do Mark this Salen. Again. Yeah, and Mike Tomlin loves that. They all love that. They love a guy who invites that kind of contact, who wants to be the big dog in any matchup of two guys hitting. But that's what we have to watch with him. That's the thing that has to just be watched, because you don't want to lose him week 13. Right? You don't want it to be the Steelers are on path to being like this juggernaut team heading into the playoffs, and then Najee Harris goes down with an injury, and he's never the same player again, or some horrible thing like that. Knock on wood. I hate talking about this, but that's my concern with him. Is like I am so desperately watching to see any other running back, any running back on the Steelers. I don't care who they are. I've got no favorites here. Anybody that will put them in a position to say, okay, we can monitor Najee Harris's touches and we can let Anthony McFarland or Benny Snell, I don't care, Jalen Samuels, whoever it is, go out there and run and we'll be okay. And Najee can, you know, be reserved a little bit, because 17 games is a lot.
Before we flip over to the second half of the show, there is one more name I want to touch on, because we've kind of got through two of the kind of darlings of the early portion of training camp in Highsmith and Najee Harris. The third name that has been getting a ton of praise is Pat Freiermuth, the Steelers' second-round pick out of Penn State. Up until today, he's just been a stud receiver Before they put pads on, he's been catching everything spectacular, one-handed catches. He's dropping two toes in the end zone, maintaining possession of the ball, scoring points. He's been doing it all in the receiving game. Mike Tomlin's been chirping at him saying, we know you can catch, but can you block? And then today they put the pads on, and one of the guys, apparently he's stoned in a drill, is Alex Highsmith, one of the Steelers' darlings at camp. Pat Freiermuth has been answering the bell. It's so much so, I had to write a story on it, and that will be dropping for you tomorrow over at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. But, Jeffrey, I'm curious your thoughts on Pat Freiermuth and whether or not you expected him to be living so far up to expectation. I guess at this point, he's kind of passing any expectation that we had from the second-round pick of a tight end before we even make it to these preseason games.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because, again, in Matt Canada's offense, I'm going to go back to that every time, a lot of times he uses tight ends as your H-back, where you're a blocker, you're doing creatively different things. You're not just in line all the time. You're not just in line or in the slot. You're in the backfield. You're doing all kinds of stuff. Against when he would pit upset Clemson, it was basically their run game was pitches to – it was either James Conner or a little shovel pass to their tight end. Pat Freiermuth, with his pass catching he's showing, if he is a matchup problem, and this is something I will say a lot, matchup problems. If he's a matchup problem as a receiver, and he's also can block, and he can do some creative things, and we're seeing he's a pretty fluid athlete. He's got some good athleticism there. He can be another one of those weapons that is just really hard for defenses to match up with. And that's like when I see them doing these things, I see Pat Freiermuth going off. All I can think of is plays where like you start with like Najee Harris in the backfield and you motion him out to wide receiver, and teams have to account for that because he's actually good and he's a threat out there and he's hard to cover. And then you have like Pat Freiermuth at tight end and everyone's like, oh crap, okay, now they're cleared out, they're not running the ball, and you get like some little shovel pass to Pat Freiermuth up the middle where the linebackers had to clear out because they're out there worried about, you know, what's Najee Harris going to bring. The addition of Freiermuth as a weapon would make our two tight end sets really, really dangerous. Allows, if Najee Harris is going to show off versatility, that makes that a bigger deal. I mean, if you can go out there with a two tight end set and say, you know, Eric Ebron's solid blocker. He's apparently convinced that blocking is important now. He saw the light and he's been converted to a blocking tight end. He's at least saying the right things, right? So if he's willing to really buy into being able to block and being a good blocker, and Pat Freiermuth is able to block, and they're both receiving threats, and you've got Harris as your running back, and all of a sudden you just come out like that, and the other team has to counter it, understanding that, okay, we got two tight ends who can block linebackers, right? And we got a running back who can cause us troubles, and then you just go five wide. And you're like, we've got a bunch of tall, fast guys, and we've got a running back who can catch. Like, that's the kind of mismatch nightmares for defenses that would make this Steelers offense, and especially under Matt Canada, incredibly tough to defend because of how Matt Canada uses people creatively. So for me, Pat Freiermuth, of his own accord, is nice, the hearing that. But when you hear it in conjunction with Najee Harris, in conjunction with Eric Ebron apparently deciding blocking is important, this offense really has that chance. You're seeing the window, like the percentages of maybe this offense could be what we hope it is. The chance that that's actually going to happen is higher than it's been, and it's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, you're spot on with all of that, Jeffrey. I'm way more excited for this offense with these reports of how, especially the rookies, how good they've looked. Even Kendrick Green, I know he fumbled a snap today, and then the next play almost shot one over Ben's head, but he caught it. Ben's pretty good at catching wild snaps because, honestly, Marquise Pouncey was not very good at snapping the ball in shotgun. If you look back in his career, there'd be way more fumbles if number seven wasn't back there behind him catching them all. Ben did a great job of catching those snaps. So I'm not too worried about that with Kendrick Green thus far. I'm sure he'll get all that under control. But as we sit here right now, we do have to transition to the second half of the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, just hang tight. If you're listening on a podcast platform, you'll just have to click over to part two. We're going to cover some cut candidates, whether or not the Steelers can afford to sign another player, perhaps if they can extend TJ Watt in the next couple weeks. And if we have some time, we could get into some position battles. Who is the favorite right now in the early running of this training camp? So flip over right now. Once again, if you're YouTube, Facebook, just hang tight.